So we're finally on our last week of Jesus' discourse of the bread of life. But I think things are going a little bit differently than what Jesus planned. Jesus has told his followers and those who John, the author of his gospel, says, calls them disciples. Jesus has told them that he is the bread of life, which has come down from heaven, and all who eat his flesh and drink his blood will live forever. The reaction of many of his disciples is unsettling. They share, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Jesus has promised that those who abide in him will have eternal life. Yet these first century Judeans have a hard time understanding. Jesus is the Messiah. They struggle in recognizing Jesus as God incarnate in human form. They have difficulty choosing to believe in the words that we profess in the creeds that we use each week. As we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. Yet these early disciples, those early followers, do not have these words yet. They don't have the history yet that we have. We know. We possess these words of this knowledge. We know the rest of the story. The massive choice that they have in front of them is to put their faith in this man. This rabbi, this person from Galilee. Now, there's something here that, there's something about Jesus that keeps them interested, that keeps them coming back. Maybe it was the food, the actual bread that Jesus was providing, or maybe it was the miracles that they watched but could not explain. Maybe it was the freedom that Jesus has been talking about that comes from the grace, love, and forgiveness of God. Yet once Jesus began to speak about himself as the way to eternal life, something they knew that only God could promise, they were challenged beyond belief. And their understanding was not quite there. And they questioned, who could accept it? Jesus seems to be surprised at their reaction. He asked in John 6:62, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Jesus' question is a clear foretelling of what is to come. If they are challenged by the fact that Jesus is the bread from heaven, will they be able to believe or place their faith in him once he is crucified, dead, buried, raised, and ascends? If there's such a time when Jesus had a come to Jesus moment or come to himself moment, it might be here. Because what he proclaimed has become a stumbling block to his own disciples. And Jesus doesn't like stumbling blocks. But it makes sense. I mean, he has to identify himself in this way. He is the Son of God. God incarnate on earth, the flesh, which is indwelt by the life of God, the Word who is God. But it was too much for the disciples to comprehend at that time. And we shouldn't be too hard on these individuals. We have the rest of the story, right? But we have all had those moments in life that we're just not sure. We've all been there where these early followers are in our faith journeys. And if you haven't questioned your faith in the last year and 6 months, God bless you. I mean, this pandemic and society's reaction to it, wearing masks, getting vaccines, it's all been incredibly daunting. It's difficult to turn toward God when life seems so out of control. When death and illness seem to win the day, when natural disasters and evil seem to rule the nights. When our prayers for the sick and dying, our loved ones, seem to go unanswered, especially when we see others with less struggles or less worries. It is in these times that we also question our faith. Is God out there? Or at the very least, is God sleeping? It's a human condition to question, to wonder, to question our faith. In our first reading, Joshua gathers all the tribes of Israel. I love that. It's all of them, the heads, the priests, the everybody. And asks them to choose God and put away all other gods in their ancestors and all the other gods that their ancestors served. Joshua 24. Now therefore, worship the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And we are quick to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I myself have that engraving in my house on a piece of wood over our door. We wish to have absolute faith. But as I even say those words, absolute faith, it sounds like an oxymoron. The truth, our faith is forever growing. It's a mountaintop and valley experience. Because there's sin in the world, and there's parts of us that are sinful. We have not loved God. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And Jesus knows this about his followers. We cannot follow on our own. It is why Jesus has come to us. It is why God comes to us in the flesh of Jesus Christ and comes to us today in the waters of baptism, comes today in this meal, comes to us today in the spoken word of our worship, and why God comes to us in the circle of life, death, and resurrection that we witness in all of creation and in our own lives. Back in the gospel, Jesus continues. He tries to explain and reaches to his followers saying, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. The words that Jesus spoke to us are Spirit and life. And notice that the word Spirit here in Scripture is not capitalized. Now, the Greek word here is the same as it was used for the Holy Spirit. But as Jesus says it here, and as the evangelist, as John records it, and as the translator translates it or interprets it, this Greek word for Spirit is the rational Spirit, the power by which a human being feels, thinks, wills, and decides. You and I have this daily choice of following the ways of Jesus or not. We have the choice of putting faith in ourselves or faith in God. And this is exactly why the author of Ephesians asks us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power, to put on the full armor of God, because we are at battle, not against each other, not flesh and bone. Rather, we are at battle against the rulers and authorities, which, on closer examination to the original Greek, can actually be defined as self-interest and those at the front of the line, those who are not looking out for the common good or common interests of others. Now, this includes ourselves. This includes our self-interests. It also includes the self-interests of politicians and leaders, of all of us. We battle against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The author of this letter to the Ephesians is pointing out that evil exists, and sometimes we only have to look in the mirror to see it firsthand. And it's because we often personify even evil in the other. Democrat against Republicans, liberals against conservatives, whites against blacks, straights against gays, us against them. The list is endless. But the battle is not against each other. It's against this evil. But now we have the choice of God with us and putting on the armor of God. Ephesians, hear it again. Chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with you, which will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's calling us to dwell in the attributes of God. Choose truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Word made flesh. This is what Jesus is asking his disciples to believe. God is incarnate in Jesus Christ. But once again, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus turns and asks the 12, well, do you also wish to go away? And Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? And if we would have ended the thought there, one might have thought they were unsure and really didn't have any other options. But he continues and therefore gives hope to all who follow. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Everyone struggles with faith. And that is why it's so important that we have our gatherings, that we have this church, that we have our community, the collective we, the body of Christ, to be in worship with each other, to support one another, to hear the word of God, not only as we hear scriptures that are read, but as we go through our liturgy. Our liturgy is based on, if not word for word, it comes from scripture. The phrase, Lord, to whom shall we go, should be very familiar to you. We read or sing it during Lent before the gospel as the gospel acclamation. Earlier we talked about the creeds, where I brought up the Nicene and the Apostles' Creed, and we read them together to show solidarity and support for one another. But they are different. The Apostles' Creed starts each petition, I believe. The Nicene Creed, it starts with, we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. When we struggle with our faith, and when these words are not quite ringing true for us individually, it is important to hear that others say them around us. It carries us. As we hear others proclaim their faith, we are lifted in our own. When we struggle with our faith, we have the presence of God in, with, and under us as we participate with our church family and in the world. When we struggle with our faith, it is vital that others are with us on our journey to help and abide with us as God abides in and with us. Together, we are the body of Christ. Our faith might falter sometimes, but the love of God and the example of Christ never falters. The body of Christ, the bread of life, is here to carry you through all times and for all eternity, and that is no stumbling block. Rather, it is the wings of grace, love, and forgiveness. Amen.